It is time. You just made the list. I want you to feel better on this Friday. Back here on 3D, Darren and Donick with you. Pick six in the final hour. We'll also have Kevin Allen a little bit later this hour. But we've got prizes to give away if you jump in there. Let's see. How about a pair of tickets to the Bacon and Beer Classic at Nissan Stadium next Saturday? Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Also, let's see. I think there's four pack of tickets for MTSU. Chase, if I can find the game. It's next weekend's game.
Yeah, next Friday night against Marshall.
That's right, next Friday night. Here it is. It was, of course, the last one. Of course, that's how it works. Yeah, MTSU hosting Marshall next Friday night at Floyd Stadium. So you can win a four-pack of tickets to that game. You can win tickets to go over to Nissan Stadium next Saturday. But you got to bring it. You got to earn it. That's all we ask that you do. And this is also to make you feel better. Get something off your chest. What has angered you this week? Or what is something or someone? 737-1025. Who wants to start? You want to start?
I'll start it off.
Because you've been kind of hinting at yours.
Yeah. If people have listened the last couple of days, you might know where I'm going. By the way, I just saw a tweet from Adam Vingan that Roman Josi is practicing today. So that's a good sign for his possible return to the lineup. Yannick Weber, who took that high hit last night from Martin Hansel, not on the ice. Still, I haven't heard anything from the league, or you know, nothing that's popped up on Twitter about, is there any follow-up on that hit itself from the league department?
Well, they're usually never swift in there. It's never first thing the next morning. Like, hey, five-game suspension. That's usually not how it works.
Man.
Usually we're going, okay, we're several days removed. Any word from league office?
Whew, that was tough. But here we go.
Do you remember the Calgary game 2 years ago, right before the All-Star break?
Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't swift, was
You're right.
it?
You're right. It sort of
and
gradually
the
started.
The league was here. That's where they came. They came straight from. They were here getting ready for the All-Star weekend. That was the final game going into the break.
So here we go. This is my take on this. I've been building this for a couple of days. But there will be the Chicago fan. As you said, there, this game between the Blackhawks and the Predators will be a new era. Now that the Predators have eliminated, they have taken something from the Blackhawks after twice being beaten by them before in the playoffs, there will be a different vibe in the United Center tomorrow. So this is what I'm going to throw out there. If you've always been the Blackhawk fan had a little patronizing, you know, how many cups have you won? And you've always been kind of needling the Predators, then okay. If that's the stance you've always taken, you've been kind of mean and cynical, and I don't know if big brother is the right word. Big brother can be a nice thing, but if you've always been real arrogant, then okay, keep being arrogant and add a little edge to it, that's fine. But if you've been that fan that has always been kind of like, oh, those Predators, man, they're pesky. They've always played us tough.
You guys always give us a
love
fight,
coming
man.
Down to Nashville. You guys always give us a good game, man. Don't change and become a different person now that this has happened.
You're saying get angry. Don't be angry.
Just stay consistent. Stay consistent for what you've always been. But I suspect there'll be a lot of people that have been that guy that has always been like, oh, I love coming down to Nashville. I love your town, man. You guys play us tough, man. You guys are good.
They're a fun team.
Fun team.
Fun team.
Fun team, yeah. Love coming to watch
love
you guys.
Love the vibe.
Yeah.
Love the vibe. It's fun.
But now that the sweep has happened, there might be a little different take tomorrow night. So I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to be seeing who changes their tune. All right? There's going to be some people that do.
There'll be thousands that do.
And for the thousands of people that all of a sudden become different towards the Predators now that they got beat.
You just made the list.
They're going to be on the list.
Well, get ready. Was that place?
The list is going to be long.
22,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about their three cups, even though they have six, but they only remember
three. But some of those guys.
Well, that's when they started following.
Some of those people have been like that.
Those same people became Cubs fans last year, too. Yeah. So.
some of those people have been like that anyway. So those people are excused. They're not on the list because they've always had that. That's fine.
I think you're
They're not going to change. They're going to be the same that there's always been. But there's been those real nice people that, oh, isn't it fun? We have the Predators.
You're asking the impossible, though. You realize
No,
that.
I know.
Because they're
They can't help
you
it.
You can't.
It's human nature.
You can't change. Right. It's human nature.
And all these people, too, on a larger scale that say, you know, I was from Boston. Everybody was rooting for the Predators last year, the Stanley Cup final. You know, if the Predators keep winning enough, those fans aren't going to, you're not going to hear that anymore. Right. Because for a while, I think it was the Blackhawks that were like that. Blackhawks hadn't won in a while. Hey, isn't it fun? What's going on with the Blackhawks? It's kind of easy to root for them. Not anymore. Cubs, right? Hey, wouldn't it be great to see the Cubs win the World Series? Not quite. Now that you win it, it's not quite the same darling team. If you keep winning, Red Sox have fallen into that, right? Red Sox aren't the darling team anymore. If anything, the fans are becoming annoying, right? It's like, oh, those poor Red Sox fans. Yeah. They've gone through so much pain.
Now it's the Indians.
Now it's right. Now it's the Indians,
the lovable
right?
losers.
You're absolutely
the
right.
New lovable losers.
So I hope the Predators keep winning so that more people don't think they're the darling, fun underdog team anymore. So maybe it's a sign of respect.
I just said you're asking the impossible. I am going to use that theme to bounce into my you just made the list. Like him. Yeah, you know there's a butt coming. Like him. Have always enjoyed our conversations with him. And oh, by the way, he's turned out to be a heck of a ball player here. He really has. I don't think anybody really saw him turning into the role that he did when the Titans initially signed him and paid him $5 million a year. But you're asking the impossible. You realize that. And I think now I don't understand what he's doing. To me, it makes no sense. You're staying in the locker room until you get an apology from the president. I mean, you really think that's going to happen? Honestly, that's not going to happen. Just like Willie, your plea, it's not going to happen. That's not how it works.
Right.
The latest, if the league takes this stance and implements a policy and, you know, forces us to stand for the anthem, I'm done with football. I'll retire. And, of course, he deleted that Twitter account. I like Rishard Matthews. I do. I don't understand what he's doing here. So you're going to leave you really? So if they do that, and I don't know one way or the other if they're going to or not, but if they do that, you're going to leave your $5 million a year job to do what? What, you're going to coach high school football next year? Well, that'll pay you about $32.5. So that's what you're going to do. And then you've accomplished what? Because I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I understand it. And like you said, you gave the proper backdrop when we had on Cameron Wolf. We understand his story. He's got the military background with his father and the tragic story of his brother. And he's a guy, you know, that played with Colin Kaepernick. So he's got all these, which makes it an interesting discussion, which we've had with him multiple times. I don't understand where he's going now. I think it's quite honestly, he's gone way too far. It's silly. And why did he delete it? I mean, if that's the way you really feel about retiring or quitting, which I think is silly, then why would you delete that?
I think you should have the right to delete it. If you, it's like Herm Edwards says, don't press send.
Didn't wait 60 seconds.
But sometimes you do that and you realize, you know what, this is better than leaving it out there. You just have to own it. But you have to say, you know what, maybe I went too far. I don't know what he's going
to
say going forward.
He needs to delete his stance on going to the locker room until he gets an apology. Rashard, you're not getting an apology. Okay, it's not going to happen. We all know that. You
right.
know that. So what are you doing? What are you really trying to accomplish?
Well, he wants to make a difference, and he wants to create some change.
Is that going to make a difference? Is he going to change? Is he going to change anything on that front?
President Trump is not going to apologize. He hasn't apologized. He never admits he's wrong about anything.
That's
so
my answer.
I understand. I understand. So I do think, I hope anyway, that there's good discussions, not shaming or anything for what he's done, because I think he really wants to.
But now he is becoming a distraction for the team. As that's Cameron Wolf said, now this week,
that's where
the general manager's going, he's calling up his agent going, hello, do we need to know anything? Is he just going to up and quit? Do we need to make a roster move? Hello?
That's where it's tough.
And now his coaches are asking questions. He's now becoming a distraction. And for that, I hate to do it because I like him. I think he's gone too far. But with all that being said, Rishard Matthews.
You just made the list.
Chase?
All right. I've been waiting for this for a couple of days.
Oh.
So the other night, we had Smashville Live at the Tin Roof on Demumrian. It was a great turnout. Pecorine, Mika Salamaki, UC Saros were there. Jason Fitz, Hal Gill did a fantastic job. Well, I was engineering, so I have a spot right there on the stage behind the guys, you know, with the equipment. And so, you know, I'm sitting there listening to the show. And some of you might know where I'm going with this, but yesterday on our 102.5 The Game Twitter account, there was a picture tweeted out that said, we want you to look at us the way that Chase looks at Pecorine. And it's a not flattering picture of me with just a blank stare on my face. So, Chaz Kelly in our promotions department does a tremendous job with all of our graphics and social media. And he had a little fun at my expense. And I actually laughed. So, I'm taking this a different direction than you might think I am. I am actually putting myself on the list because I time and time again get caught in these awkward situations with my facial expressions. And for some reason, it seems to be with Pecorine because this is now the second one. So, Chase?
You just made the list!
I don't know why I have to be so awkward. I can't figure this out, but I have this Chase face, as people say.
Chase face?
Yes, or somebody texted me and called it a resting Chase face. So, I don't know why. There was actually two of them, and a lot of people were tweeting at me, and it was funny, but I don't know why I do that. I don't know why
it's
that
a first? You putting yourself
I think so.
On the list?
I think so.
I think you're right.
I think I
could easily put Chaz
on the list,
but you know. You know what? I think Darren did, or well, you're Darren. I think Willie did put himself on the list last year.
I did once last year. I can't remember for what. Probably could every week.
So, yes.
The resting Chase face.
I have put myself in the resting Chase face on the list.
So, you think it's Pekka?
I don't know.
You think that is the common thread there, that it's always around Pekka?
Colin Wilson has been a victim of it.
So, it's not just Pekka.
No, but there's now two instances with Pekka.
Colin will be here on Tuesday, just
he will.
So you know.
He will. I'll ask him about it.
You want to make a weird face on Tuesday?
I don't mean to. And the thing is, I'm self-conscious about it, so I try and smile, and it just looks creepy.
All right, 737-1025. It's time for you to jump in there and participate in the show. Let's go to Ravi in Laverne. Ravi, get us started.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show, as always. Usually, I don't like to put my mentors or peers on the list, but this time, it's going to be my math teacher. The first 2 weeks of class, she couldn't even log into her account to show us how to do our homework, and then now we're basically like 3 weeks in, and last class, we spent 50 minutes on one problem because she couldn't solve it herself. So, I mean, I guess you could say I'm doing fine, but I know listening to my classmates, she's definitely on the list because not only is she behind, we're all behind. And so right now we're playing catch up. So, but yeah, she made the list. And have a good day, guys.
Where do you go to school? Oh, he hung up.
Oh, man.
Name names.
Well, I mean, he didn't have to name. I mean, just I want to know where this is taking place.
That'd be good to know.
If he wanted to name. Did he say teacher or did he say professor?
I think he said professor.
That's what I thought he said, but I didn't. He was kind of breaking up a little bit at the beginning.
And maybe he just didn't want to name names.
Well.
He wanted to keep some anonymity.
Well, that's fine. All right, let's go. Hold on.
Hang on just a second.
Let's go next. Who's on your list? Who is this?
This is Barrett in the borough.
Barrett, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a list, and forgive me if you've already addressed this. I haven't been able to listen nonstop this week, but last year, for the entire season, I hear everybody in the radio booth, the TV booth, and on the shows, they all say Pontus Auberg. And now this year, it's like it's a point of emphasis or something. Either it's a new player or a different guy, but now it's Pontus Auberg. And I don't know who to even put on the list for that, but I mean, did everybody say his name wrong for an entire year? And then, like, somebody called him from Slovenia to say, sorry, it's Auberg. And did the memo go out? Because it seems like this year everyone's saying Pontus Auberg. Am I crazy, or did that happen?
Well, we got a direct memo from Sweden, and... Barrett, okay, it's fair.
Barrett, this is taking on a life of its own.
This is,
It is.
It's a fair.
But there is a reason.
Willie's exhausted.
There's a reason.
I know, you can tell Willie's
we
like,
didn't just do
man.
This. We didn't just do that. When I say we, our broadcasters, we don't just start arbitrarily. You know, I think we just should start calling him Auberg. We don't do that. What happens every year is Pete Weber will have a recorder, and he will have each player in the camp say, will you pronounce your name for us? How you want it said on the broadcast. Now, a lot of times you have a young player who doesn't want to make waves from another country, and that player knows that the way you say his name in his native tongue is very difficult for an American or a Canadian broadcaster to pronounce. And I'll put it to you in a term maybe you'll understand. When you say Adrian Gonzalez, if you were in wherever his country is, I forget if Adrian is from, I guess he's American, but let's say there's a guy from the Dominican Republic, say, you know, his name is Gonzalez or Ramirez. Well, when you're in the Dominican Republic and they're talking in Spanish, you don't say Ramirez, you say Ramirez, you know, or something like that. American announcers don't do that, right? They Americanize the name a little bit. So it's the same with these guys. Now, Pontus's last name, if you really get technical in Swedish, it's something like, and the Swedish guys laugh when you even try to say it right. They say something like Auberg, Auberg, or something like that. But the Swedish guys usually say, go with the Americanized pronunciation. But now on top of that, Pontus himself, when you asked Pontus, he said he would like to be called Auberg this year. Now, last year, I don't know what happened, but we got into a habit of saying Auberg for a couple of years. That was the easiest thing to say, I guess. We got on a roll going that way.
Well, here's
but
the problem
this year,
with this bear.
We asked him a couple times. We double-checked because once you make a change, now you got to tell everybody else. All the other announcers, all the fans, and the fans troll you on Twitter and everything.
And by the way, then the visitors, they come in, they do the same thing. They go to the booth and they, hey, what you guys, how are you pronouncing Pontus again? How are you saying his
right?
Because that's what happens.
Because when you play in the Stanley Cup final and you play all those playoff games, he was noticeable. He made some big plays in the playoffs, and it was all everybody was saying Auberg. So he wanted it changed. Now, I don't know if he knew that it was going to be.
Well,
this
I don't
kind
know
of
if
thing.
He wanted to change. Here's the problem. Barrett, if you don't go ask them, most of them, they don't really care. I mean, they don't. Because most of the time when you go up to these players, you say, hey, how do you want me to say this? And they're like, oh, I don't care. I mean, right? Willie, is that not usually the standard answer? Well, I don't care.
Right.
I'm cool.
Say whatever you want.
Just say whatever you want.
And that's the worst
that's
thing.
That's usually the yeah. response, which doesn't help us at all. But that is usually, unless you just – you know, you're egregious and you just say something ridiculous that's not even close, but they don't care. And so, but, you know, we're trying to say it correctly, but if you don't approach them, they're not going to say anything for the most part.
Which is why
hardly ever happens.
Which is
where,
why Pete does that every year.
Yeah.
He asks the guys, what is it? You know, most of the guys, it's the same. Pontus said Auberg. And so we checked. A second time, we're like, okay, this is how you want it. Yes. So that's what we're going with. It is so funny now because when he played in Milwaukee for a while, so all the Milwaukee people are weighing in. Hey, what are you guys doing?
Why are you calling him Auberg?
What are you guys doing? So Barrett, you've opened up a can
of worms. Thanks for opening up that, Barrett.
I figured it took a whole offseason for the word to come back from Northern Europe. You know, Eastern Europe up there in Scandinavia somewhere. and like the relatives got a hold of a broadcast because they were listening to the championship playoff games in their native tongue, and then they finally got a hold of some replays, and somebody wrote a letter to somebody.
That's tremendous. Thank you, Barrett. Appreciate it.
Great weekend, guys.
All right, you too. Had him on last night for post game. Really good guy. Really good guy. And like you said, valuable minutes last year in the playoffs.
And I think it's been solid these last couple of games especially. Remember, he sat out the first game. He didn't have a great preseason. But he's playing with Nick Bonino and Scott Hartnell, and that's been a very effective line in these two wins.
We'll come back. More You Just Made the List next on 3D. Another round of You Just Made the List. Let's get in there. Come on. We appreciate your participation. And this is what, I don't want to get on this because I've had to do this before. But, you know, I don't want to. But we value our listeners. We love you guys. You're passionate about the show, and we're passionate about you. But don't call up and give your whole take. This is talk radio. What you do is you go on the air. Our phone screener does a really good job. He doesn't want your five-minute take on something because he's got other phone calls to get to.
And if you do that,
go on the air.
You're going to be on the list.
Right. Go on the air.
Don't be that guy.
Don't give your take to the phone screener.
You know, I don't want to go on the air, but I want to talk
to
you for the next 5 minutes.
This and this. And tell Darren. Tell Willie. No. This is talk radio. Go on the air. Don't call up and give your take to the phone screener. He's got a job to do. He's got other people that want to go on the air, and you're sucking up all the time.
The phones are ringing.
Jeez.
Poor Raul back there, man. They're killing him.
It's like, Raul, what's going on back there? You ordering a pizza? What are you doing? He's like, no, I'm just, guys, giving me his whole
guy's
take.
Guy's chewing my ear off.
Just tell them this. Tell them that. Tell them. And this is why I think about this. Well, here's an idea. How about he put you on hold, put your name up on the screen, and we'll go to you and you can talk to us. That's how it works in talk radio. Yeah. All right. 737-1025. 737-1025. Who is on your list? Rob. Rob, you're up next. What's up?
Jay Cutler, you have made the top of the list. You have got to be the worst, the boring player, the worst quarterback I have ever seen in my life. I know you put all the people asleep that was watching you the other day. Please, don't come back out there anymore. Please, just stay at home. Don't come back. Don't show up. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Rob. Well, you had 10 million reasons to come out of the TV booth, which he wasn't going to stay at home. He was going to be working this year. It was just going to be up in the booth on television. But as well as television makes, and Willie knows, he makes millions. Not $10 million a year. $10 million to quarterback this year. That's why he came out of the booth. But, yes, they're awful. And he wasn't very good. 92 yards and you win in the NFL passing.
They're 2-2.
And a quarterback rating of what? Negative 13?
It was in the 50s, I think.
Felt like negative 13.
It wasn't all his fault. That's a bad team. I was looking at Football Outsiders, the overall rankings. Team
where
efficiency.
Where does he rank for this year in quarterbacks?
Okay,
we'll
get
to
that in a second. But team efficiency ratings. 29, Miami. 31, Indianapolis, 32, Cleveland.
What does that mean? That's the opponents for the Titans.
You gotta beat those teams. I really hope that loss doesn't cost them getting into the playoffs because it really could.
Well, yeah, of course it could.
And that particular week, I mean, the Dolphins. It's not like they played well; they were bad. They were bad, and the Titans couldn't find.
Where does Cutler rank quarterbacks right now?
Take the next call, and I will look it up. I will tell you.
737-1025. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Before I get to who's on my list, Who does not want to talk to 3D, the best radio show in the afternoon?
Thank you, Nate. I mean, just talk to us. That's
now,
Raul
is a good guy.
He is.
Raul's a good guy, people might want to talk to Raul. And that's all right.
Y'all can't bite through the phone.
That's right. There's nothing we can do. Nothing. Other than hang up on you. That's it.
So who's on my list? The Predators fans. And, yes, I heard a few of them. It wasn't a lot, but I heard a few boo birds in the crowd last night when we were on the power play, the five-minute power play. And I was wondering if they were new or, you know, who they were booing, if Radloff had just threw the puck down, that they were booing him. But I have a feeling it was out of frustration. For the fans that booed the Predators during the power play, you are on my list. We do not need to become the Blackhawks who boos their own team. And this is a good lesson for the new people.
Were they also the same people saying this out loud in the stands? Shoot the puck! Shoot! Why don't they shoot?
I don't know. I'm sure there were a lot less saying or booing than saying shoot the puck.
Shoot!
Because sometimes I was even saying that.
No, but Willie knows what I'm talking about. Back in the day, that's all you would hear. Shoot! But
that happens everywhere.
Shoot the puck! Why don't they ever shoot?
That continues.
Especially
to be
on the power play.
In all fairness, that was a rough power play. They had 5 minutes.
The 5 minute, right.
They couldn't get set up. The puck kept bouncing on it. They just couldn't. So I can understand being frustrated. But booing in the first period, I think, you know, probably a little early. That's a little harsh. Come on.
Yeah, and I was even a little frustrated about that. But, I mean, hey, you know, it all turned out
It's a long game. It's a long game.
Are you sure they weren't saying use? Maybe Saros was waving to people on the bench? They were saying
that's
use?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't know. That's a good point.
Okay.
But real quick, Willie, do you think that this weekend's game against the Colts is one of those games that you have to say, the Colts, you can't lose to the Colts. They're playing their backup quarterback.
Touche.
Well played, Nate. Well played.
And you can't lose to the Colts. Yeah, well, I guess when you've lost to them 15 straight times, I'm not sure if that applies yet.
11 straight. It's only 11.
Oh, it's 11?
Don't make it 15. It's only 11.
Shortchanged them a couple. They've 11 in a row?
They're 1-15.
1-15. I knew there was a 15 in there.
Yeah. Don't make it worse than it is.
It's time. I've been saying this for like 3 years. It's time to beat the Colts. All right. And then the next Monday, what happened?
By the way, kudos to Nate's girlfriend. She had some sweet Pred shoes on. Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
They came into Barrel House, said hello, and I think she made them, I think. I don't think you can buy these, but they were nice.
Jay Cutler.
I was like, nice sneakers.
Preds kicks. I like them.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple who wear those.
I think she
made
them.
I don't know where
them.
You get those.
Cool. I think she made
you
them,
make
I think.
Them?
I don't know.
All right, there are 32 quarterbacks who qualify
in
the Football Outsiders efficiency rankings. DeShone Kizer is number 32.
Imagine that. He's been benched.
Jay Cutler's number 31.
Imagine that. No surprise. But hey.
Jacoby Brissett.
$10 million.
Jacoby Brissett is number 26.
But he's won two games for the Colts.
He's been serviceable.
And you know what? No, that's two more games that Tolzien would not have won. That's the difference. Tolzien doesn't win those games. Brissett did. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're up next. Who or what's on your list?
I either had to put Jala on the list or the program director because I called in there about a couple of days ago, was wanting to talk about my Houston Astros, and y'all have the nicest screeners. I have to give them a compliment. But I'm putting whoever does the programming and won't talk about a certain sports team for a second, and then go back to your own subject.
What show? What are you talking about? Who are you calling in?
Y'all show. The other day I was wanting to talk, and I had the screener leave a note for about the slogan of the year for the for the Predators that we've climbed the mountain. Now it's time to claim the mountain.
Oh. Well, we're sorry that happened. I didn't know that happened, Jerry. We were probably must have been at the arena.
The nicest screeners. So the program director or whoever, you just made the list.
All right. A first one for Porth. Thank you, Jerry.
I actually think he might mean me because he's talking about the producer.
Oh, okay.
Probably. But I think we were probably at the arena.
Wouldn't it have been a lot more fun if it was
Oh,
Porth?
Yeah. Porth is on the list.
Out of town,
I mean,
too.
He's always on the list.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
We can do that while he's out of town. Yeah. Put him on the list. So you think Jerry was directing that at you?
Well, I mean, if he's talking about our call screeners and our show, I mean.
But maybe we were at the arena and you were there with us.
Right.
Because he said Joel. So Joel was on the board.
Right.
Not
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah. So I was at the arena.
So that was probably Tuesday or yesterday.
Yeah. We just didn't get the message.
I don't know. So, wow, our first one for Joel or the phone screener, whoever it was yesterday or Tuesday.
Joel. Joel can't be on the list.
No, Joel's way too nice. 737-1025. How about Mike? Mike, who's on your list?
Hey, guys. First off, I'd like to say I'm really enjoying the Preds telecast. Willie and Chris are doing a great job.
Thank you.
What do you think about their hair?
Willie has hair?
Well,
you know, Mace and I were talking about this last night.
More than Mace.
We're going to do a breakdown of who has the most hair and who has the least hair among the announcer teams in the NHL.
Well,
we feel like we're going to be right there.
Your outfit's looking good, though. You're dressing nice. I must say that.
Oh, okay. Is the stylist in play?
Next week. It's any day now. We're going to Chicago for the game Saturday, so that's out. I believe next week we will unveil some new stuff.
For Tuesday?
Don Cherry?
We've had some new shirts. I've worked in some new shirts,
Willie,
new ties.
Willie's
we're not going
not
Don Cherry.
Going Don
you got to you gotta be yourself. You got to be yourself. Don Cherry, I'm not. But I've been waiting for some commentary from D-Mace. I have broken in some new flashy ties, a couple shirts, but we'll wait until the full throttle is in.
I think he wanted
there.
You to have the pocket square.
Yeah.
He keeps hinting at that, and you're not going there.
I'm not a pocket square guy.
I know. Like you said, you got to be yourself.
You got to be yourself.
So anything
but
else,
I want
Mike?
Sharpness. I want sharpness, though.
But two guys, I have two people on my list. One is Jared Stillman. I can't stand the guy. Absolutely terrible. You got to get rid of the guy. Just, I don't know why you're subjecting Floyd to this guy every day. It's horrible.
Who are you talking about?
Jared Stillman. There you go. I love that. And the other one is the Michigan quarterback, O'Korn. The guy is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Yes, we saw that last week on display.
Yeah, so I was hoping to tell D-Mace congratulations because I'm a UNM fan, but... Anyways, enjoy the show. Have a good day.
Right,
okay, here's
too.
A question, and I don't know, maybe our caller could answer it better than I could, but I have wondered, with the quarterbacks struggling at Michigan, you know, the first guy got hurt, I guess. He wasn't all that great. O'Korn, who they were really hoping would take the reins, he was awful last week. You know who they have in the mix?
A guy that was at Tennessee and transferred?
No, good thinking, but no. There is another.
Do they have Dormady?
No, but there is.
Were you saying that next year?
There is another, McCaffrey. Christian's younger brother.
Oh, really?
Christian and Max's younger brother.
And he's a QB?
He is a big-time QB.
Huh.
I think he's just a true freshman this year. I wonder. I haven't seen it talked about at all. I was just curious. I saw him on the sideline, and I was thinking, you know, I'm just wondering what the McCaffrey family, who, you know, everywhere you go in that family, look at the family tree, there's a lot of credentials.
Pretty good bloodlines.
I don't think, you know, he went there to sit on the bench for too long, but they probably thought, you know, red shirt the first year, eventually play your way in there. But I wonder.
Their quarterback play is pathetic.
Because, yeah, it's just pathetic. Sitting there watching that quarterback play, you got to say, man, I wonder if old McCaffrey could do better.
Mm. We'll come back with Kevin Allen, our man from USA Today. He's been covering the league for a long time. We'll talk a little hockey with him next on 3D 102.5 The Game. Always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Kevin Allen. I've been talking with him for a long time, and he's been covering hockey for a long time for USA Today, and he's on the line with us. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
At by Kevin Allen on Twitter. Give him a follow. Nice win for the Predators against the Dallas Stars, the new-look Dallas Stars. Ken Hitchcock on the bench, his second stint. Of course, no stranger to Nashville, Alexander Radulov in uniform for Dallas. He had two stints with the Predators. Both did not end very well. And, you know, just a new look, a different style. Ben Bishop in net, but the Predators came away with a 4-1 victory. Dallas, early in the season, but off to a little bit of a sluggish start. They were kind of a sexy pick in the offseason. What do you think of what you've seen out of the Stars to this point?
Well, I agree. I mean, I've really been surprised that they've sort of been a little bumpy. But, you know, I'm not too worried about it in terms of thinking it's going to be a long-term problem. I mean, even though, as you mentioned, Hitchcock has been there before, this is a new coach to these players. So there's an adjustment there. Also, when you look at it, I mean, you know, Ben Bishop's at 185. Terry Lehtinen's had, you know, two of the losses that the team has had. And, you know, Bishop's save percentage is at 932, and they're giving up about 26 shots per game. So I think the Stars are going to be all right. At some point, they're going to start scoring. I mean, they haven't scored yet. They're averaging about two goals per game. And at some point, this team's going to average three or more goals per game. So I think it'll be all right. But, you know, it's possible that we overestimated the impact of all the changes. But I like all the players that they've added. I mean, Radulov adds, as everyone in Nashville knows, a dynamic presence and handles a good, tough, hard-to-play-against center. Bishop, of course, is great in goal. And the acquisition I like best was Mark Mathot, who, you know, gives them kind of a shutdown defenseman. So, you know, I never thought that the Dallas Stars were going to win the Stanley Cup, but I thought they would be better than they have started, but I still think they're going to be fine as they move forward.
Next up for the Predators in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Saturday evening, Chicago suffered their first loss in regulation as Minnesota went in there on Thursday night and got four goals in the third period and beat the Blackhawks. We know this will be the first look, Predators, Blackhawks, since the Predators swept them in the first round of the playoffs last year. It prompted many, many changes by Chicago. Obviously, they were not happy, and they were stung by that because the Predators not only swept them, they made them look bad also doing it. What do you think of what you see out of Chicago to this point early on in the year?
Well, it is really interesting. You know, if you think back to what Stan Bowman said afterward, he goes, you know, it had nothing to do with all the changes with what happened against Nashville, and I think most of us believe it had everything to do with how, you know, they looked against Nashville. Although, you know, I talked to Patrick Kane, and I think it was September, and he was saying, you know, as the Predators kept playing better and better, the sting of that loss was diminished because I think they realized that, you know, they got beat by a real good team that wasn't the same team that they had seen sort of in the regular season. But I think we were all expecting the Blackhawks to take a half step backwards. But, you know, you got to give Stan Bowman credit. I mean, he's a bit of a miracle worker when it comes to sort of reconfiguring his roster. And, you know, they're getting improved play out of a lot of guys. I know Schmaltz is injured now, but, you know, he was a guy. Ryan Hartman's another guy that I think has stepped up for him. You know, Saad, I think, will help, you know, Jonathan Toews a little bit. And, you know, their defense on paper is not nearly as strong as it's been traditionally in Chicago. But, you know, Quenneville always seems to find a way to get that defense to crank it up a little bit. And though their last game was not indicative, that team, to me, has proven itself, at least in the short run, to be a little better than we expected.
What about the Predators, their look the first four games? Nice homestand, beating the Flyers and the Stars, picking up 4 points there. You had Samuel Girard playing two NHL games, getting his first NHL goal on Thursday night. Also had an assist in the win. Philip Forsberg off to a very good start already, four goals. He didn't have any goals in the month of October last year. You've got Scott Hartnell, speaking of guys with a couple stints, back for his second stint with the Predators, off to a really good start. What do you see out of Nashville to this point?
Well, I mean, I think it's absolutely crucial they get off to a good start because, you know, we all know, you know, how hard it was when they didn't play well at the start of last season. And, you know, Forsberg's goal drought, I think, was sort of indicative of how the whole team, you know, was playing. And, you know, it's pretty clear to me that last year's run to the final, you know, would have a lasting effect. And by that, I mean, I think confidence was gained, you know, belief that they have more than enough to get it done. And I think they just feel like they need, you know, a break here and a break there. And if they play at a high level, you know, they could get back to the final. And, you know, you can see that in starting out. And, you know, what I like about the Girard situation is, you know, it just goes to show you that the Nashville tradition of having players waiting in the wings to fill in, to, you know, draft well, is still in place. You know, they seem to always find a guy in the draft that's ready to step in. Like, he's been pretty impressive when I've watched, at least on television. So, you know, it's I like this Nashville team. You know, it's hard to get back to the final, and you need breaks, and there's a lot more luck involved than people want to realize. But, you know, you got to start out with a team capable of going all the way, and the Predators are that, to be sure.
Kevin Allen is with us talking hockey from USA Today. And, Kevin, just the other day, one of your recent pieces is about young up-and-coming players. It's interesting when you talk to hockey people. I think in a perfect world, other than the absolute elite no-brainers like a Connor McDavid, the trend, at least the way I see it, you love to wait a couple years if you have enough depth and have those guys debut at 21 or 22 rather than 19 or 20. But it's unique with Girard because of the situation they're in with the injury to Ryan Ellis, and they have that 9-game evaluation period where they have to make a decision. So I think it's fair to say in a perfect world they wouldn't want to have to play him this year, but he's making it tough.
Well, and that's what you want. I mean, you know, I've had general managers that tell me that many times through the years, is that they love the players that make it hard on them, that, you know, to make, you know, decisions. And, you know, there are players who, you know, Ray Shiro, I had him on my podcast yesterday, and he was telling me that, you know, his feeling about running a team is that you need one surprise in training camp every year to keep your roster fresh. And they have the Jesper Bratt, who has come out of nowhere, a 6th-round pick, to make the team and suddenly become their leading scorer. And, you know, I think that's what sort of makes the league exciting, and I also think it energizes the team when you have players to do that. So I think as much as everybody knows that it's best if you're not a premium prospect to serve an apprenticeship in the minor league, they really relish when one comes along and says, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I want to launch right now, and I'm good enough at a young age. So, you know, if he makes it tough on David Poile, although I would say historically, you know, we've seen David Poile not get too caught up in emotion and make, you know, the logical decision as opposed to an emotional one.
The Colorado Avalanche come in to Nashville on Tuesday. They're off to a nice little start, and one of the stories, and you wrote about it a little bit, is the resurgence of Nail Yakupov. Once upon a time, the first pick in the draft. He's still only 24, but he just hasn't been able to connect the dots and make it work anywhere he's been so far. So what are you hearing out of Colorado as to why he's off to such a good start?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's not like he hasn't had a fresh start after leaving Edmonton. He got another chance, but, you know, the chemistry between him and Duchesne has been pretty good. And I think they gave him a clean slate. I think they said, look, you know, what happened before? You know, you're just starting new. You're just, to us, you're just another prospect. You know, come in and prove yourself. And, you know, he's always had the skill. But, you know, the sustainability of the production level has been an issue. You know, the effort, the constant battling, you know, they didn't always see that from him. And I think this season, you know, he's 24 now, and he's been in the league well over 200 games, and it hasn't gone well for him. I mean, you know, as I said in my piece, he's been, you know, minus in the 80s. This year he's a plus player. He's suddenly looks very dangerous out there. He's getting scoring chances. And, you know, sometimes it takes defensemen sometimes at 23 or 24. We expect forwards to do it a lot earlier. And maybe he's just like a defenseman. You know, it just took him longer to sort of learn the position.
What's your theory as teams continue to normalize, adapt to the rule changes and the points of emphasis on slashing and such. We talk to Hal Gill all the time. He says, you watch. They'll figure out a way to defend. But I know the league would still like to the end result to be a little bit more offense, opportunities for lead changes and drama. We certainly saw a crazy game on Tuesday night where Nashville was up 3-0, down 5-3, and 1-6-5. I'm sure at the league office there was applause there somewhere saying this is the kind of drama that we're looking for. So do you think scoring will end up being a little bit ahead?
I do. I mean, I hate to go against Hal Gill, who I respect a lot, but I think it's hard to defend. And, you know, he would know better than I. He was an NHL player. But I think it's hard to defend when you've grown up your whole life using your stick, you know, as part of your weapon.
Oh, and he's made that point many a times. Right now he's feeling for some of these defensemen trying to hang, you know, trying to defend these speedsters that are out there just blowing around the corner.
Yeah, well, what I think it helps right in this regard. I think there will be greater emphasis on the gaps and the positioning because, you know, you could cheat a little bit and then use that stick to help you get away with it. You know, so if you know, if the guy had a half step on you, a little tug here, a little tug there, we've all seen it. And it's now it's called as a slash. So, you know, I think players will adjust. I mean, we've already seen it. I mean, I've watched the games now where you see players that, you know, maybe before would have taken a chance of thinking, well, I can't really take that, you know, chance because the, you know, the guy is, you know, going to get by me. And you know, the guys without the sticks on them now are flying. So, you know, I think there's going to be an increase. I don't think it'll be major, though. I mean, these defensemen are so mobile now, and their ability to recover. You know, if you look back 30 years, like one of the big differences in the game is the recovery factor. You know, you can be caught in the old days. You were caught flat-footed. The guy was in on a breakaway. Now I've seen guys that look like they're caught, and then suddenly they pivot and they're there. They're right on the guy. So, you know, I think there'll be a slight increase. I don't think it'll be major, but it'll be enough that maybe, you know, we'll see a few more goals and have a few more games where we have exciting play.
Last one, real quick, Kevin. We've had now a couple of examples of the double whammy that can happen if you challenge the offside. And you don't get it. We saw it right here at Nashville on Tuesday. We saw it last night in Chicago where I thought the Blackhawks were right to challenge. But not only did they lose the challenge, the Wild scored on the ensuing power play. So do you think this is a good thing?
I do. I do. I like it. I mean, I you know, to me, you know, you better be sure if you're going to do it. And, you know, the reason it's in the game is to get it right. And I think – it was never intended to be to take a flyer, you know, to say, well, I'm just going to do it because, you know, it's an important goal and we'll see. You know, that's not what that rule was intended. The rule was intended to catch the obvious things that have a method to do that. So, you know, I think this is in the spirit of that idea. You know, we want to get the obvious things, but we don't want it to be used as, you know, just willy-nilly as if you know, if you know, the last resort. And so now there's a penalty if you're going to do that, and it makes people think. And, you know, the borderline calls, it's going to become some of the drama of the game now. You know, if it's really close, are you going to go for it? You know, in a big playoff game, it'll be a tough decision. We'll all have to write about it and talk about it and analyze it. So I like the decision to go this way.
Good stuff as always, Kevin. Good to talk to you. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again down the road.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Kevin Allen, USA Today, talking hockey with him at @ByKevinAllen on Twitter. Fourth and final hour, we kick it off with Pick 6. That's next.